Session number 8257.
Mr. Steve Moyle, Reel 2. Did you do any other training while you were at Mudros besides the landing from the boats? Or rather, getting into the boats?
Not so much training, no.
When did you leave Mudros and how?
We left Mudros on the morning of the 25th of April, and we proceeded up the coast of Gallipoli Peninsula to Bulair, or the Bulair Lines, I think they called it. And there, in the late afternoon, we did what we've been training for, down a Jacob's ladder into lifeboats, lightly equipped, as I'd mentioned before, with ammunition pouches, a bandolier of ammunition, a haversack, water bottle, rifle and bayonet. And in full daylight, we gave the impression that we were going to go ashore, make a landing on the beach. And what I remember of the beach, it rolled very steeply from the beach to a hill, top of a hill. And it was covered by scrub, more or less. I wouldn't have liked to have actually landed. But anyway, we were taken in tow. I forget how many boats were in tow, 4 to 6, I think. And there's two tows by minesweepers. And we, towards the evening time, we got towed right up this beach I've just described, and then did a U-turn and proceeded back again. And by the time that then, dusk was falling. But we remember seeing there wasn't a shot fired, not a shot. And the HMS Dublin, a cruiser, she was patrolling and swinging her searchlights at this time, but not a shot. But we saw, just as we were doing this U-turn, somebody struck a match right up on the hill. So it showed that somebody was observing us, perhaps just waiting for us to get ashore and then opening up. But if they'd opened up just then, I reckon we'd have lost a lot of men.
How close to the shore were you?
Well, as near, I should say, as not going ashore with the minesweeper.
Which is about how many hundred yards, or 20, 30 yards, or
Oh, say 100 yards.
100 yards
Oh,
offshore.
150 yards.
So well within small arms fire range if they'd opened up.
Oh, yeah.
Were you? This was a diversion, so were you being noisy and trying to attract attention to
Oh, I
yourselves?
we started singing and all this, you know, and making a row, more or less.
Did you know why you were doing it?
Well, the idea was, as far as I've made out, was the fact that there'd be reinforcements going on the peninsula, and we were to divert those reinforcements in the belief that we were making a landing, you see.
Did you know that at the time when you were actually doing
Oh,
it, or?
yes. My mates had said to me before I was, come on, Steve, we volunteered to do a landing, you see. So, of course, I went along with my mates.
When you say you were going to be volunteered, did that
Yeah.
mean you had a choice about the matter, or did they just number you off?
No, we volunteered for it.
How many were involved?
Well, I should think there'd be at least 15 in each boat, each lifeboat.
How many in each lifeboat?
15.
15.
15 to 20.
And how many lifeboats would there be?
I reckon there's 4 to 6 in each tow. Maybe 6.
And two tows, did you say?
Yeah.
So that's 12 lifeboats in all, with about 15, 20 men in each.
Yeah.
And these were all volunteers, were they, for this job?
I take it they were. There was another transport then opposite us in the harbour, the Royal George. I don't know what line she'd belonged to previously. But I think it must have been the Hood Battalion, because at that time, Lieutenant Commander Freiburg had swum ashore and he'd fired shots and lit flares and so on in the belief that there was a landing being made, you know. But we never saw him. So I think it must have been round the point of that harbour somewhere.
You didn't see the flares, you mean?
No. Well, that was his idea, to divert, if possible, reinforcements.
Were you nervous at all before you went off on this volunteer mission?
Well, I didn't realise how dangerous it was, I think. And you're with your mates, you know. You don't want to look scared, and like that. Even though you are.
You were relieved, I take it, that you didn't have to actually make a landing when you saw them.
Oh, yeah.
How did you think the Turks' preparations looked? Did you think they looked prepared?
None, obviously. You couldn't see any preparation on that beach because there's so many small bushes, you know, reaching right up to the top of that hill. It's pretty steep. I would like to have attempted to go up that hill with the enemy amongst those bushes and that, you know.
But the only sign you saw of the enemy was when somebody lit a match ashore.
That was the only indication, yeah.
What did you do having done these dummy landings? What happened then?
We simply went back to the ship and in the dark we up anchored and went down to Cape Ellis.
Was it very cold during this?
Well, it's surprising that time. I remember, weren't we laying in Muir's Harbour? We went bathing over the side, you know, those that could swim. And by gosh, when you were getting that water, it was cold. And yet it's quite warm outside.
Mm. What about while you were doing a diversion? Did you get cold while you were doing that? Was that cold then?
No, it's quite mild weather.
You didn't feel cold as you sat in the boat.
Hmm.
What happened following that? When you'd got back on the boat, you up anchored and left. Where did you go then? Was it?
We left for Cape Ellis, and we arrived there the next morning. Quite a bright sunny morning.
Did you see anything of the Anzac beach as you passed that?
No. But it was a fine sunny morning, and there's two battleships there, the Majestic and Triumph, banging away in support of the Lancashire Fusiliers and the 29th Division advancing, you know, making a cover for them. And the Queen Elizabeth was there with her 15-inch guns. We suddenly saw action aboard the Queen Elizabeth, men nipping into the turrets. She fired one round towards the Akibaba, the big hill crossing went across Gallipoli. And she must have spotted some reinforcements coming down. But we couldn't see anything of any reinforcements underneath the crash of the 15-inch shell.
Was it an imposing sight? Did it make you feel better about landing on Gallipoli, seeing these two pre-dreadnoughts and the Queen Elizabeth firing away in support? Did it?
Oh, aye. Because really the Turks had little resistance, but we could see in the gunfire to us, you know.
Could you see what was happening on shore at all? Could you see what was happening on the
Turks landing? We saw a few movements of men, but you see, they were under cover of the cliff. And we couldn't see what was doing beyond the cliff. The likes of fusiliers who had landed on W Beach had gone forward a bit, you see. So we couldn't see how they were going on. I suppose it'd be perhaps like open warfare until they got established.
So you couldn't actually see any of the fighting. What did the beach look like from the ship? Were there still bodies left lying about from when you were on the Franconia?
We couldn't see any bodies.
How far offshore were you then?
Offshore?
When you were on the Franconia?
Oh, near about 50 yards.
But you couldn't see much of what was happening on the beach?
No. You see, the cliff, they were clear of the cliff. But the men in khaki laying on that beach, you wouldn't be able to see very well. That's the object of being in khaki, I suppose.
How were you landed on W Beach? Can you remember?
How
did you land?
We went down in the boats, as we'd been taught. We were taken in tow by a pinnace. Two or three boats taken in tow by a pinnace. And there's a bowman who made fast around the prow of the beach lifeboat, you see. And they towed us inshore to a landing strip being put up by the engineers or somebody. And we ambled ashore.
You didn't even
in the
get
dark.
You didn't even get wet then?
No.
What could you see in the dark when you got on the beach? Can you give me a picture?
Very little. My platoon, my company, half my company, right closed along the beach. It was quite clear. There's no dead or injured until we got, my section got to the far end of the W Beach. And there, one or two fusiliers were still lying there.
I believe there was a rather sad incident while you were there when somebody...
Oh, yes. We had some very tough lads. I've been around the world a few times. Some of the toughest lads I've ever met among the reserves, you know. Naval reserve. And one, he spotted one of these bodies and he went forward, only a few paces, three or four paces. And undid the pack straps on the... He's laying on his face, this fusilier. And we watched, those youngsters watched him. Didn't know what he was up to. But when he did get the pack straps undone, he was quite a time looking at something in his hand. And we pressed forward a bit to see what it was. And of all the things in this world... In his hand he had a baby shoe, which had been put on the top of his back, top of his fusilier's back. It looked as though the missus had said, "Here, take this for a look." And even that tough soaker as he was, he just put it back on top of the pack and fastened the straps again. What he was after, I don't know to this day.
How did this sort of scene in your first sight of dead bodies affect you yourself? How did you feel about all this?
Well, it was a bit of a shock, you know. But you soon accepted things like that.
Was there anybody else on the beach at the time that you were there?
We couldn't see anybody, friend or foe. And we stayed there in support of the Lancashire Fusiliers until daylight.
When you say...
Some men left clothes, we right clothes, some men left clothes up the bit of a cliff, and there'd been a trench round the edge of the cliff. And we stayed there until daylight.
In a small trench just at the top of the cliffs?
Yeah.
How deep was the trench?
It had been filled in. I imagine that there was bodies in there, you know. I imagine it'd been covered, bodies had been put in there and covered temporarily.
Was it an old Turkish trench?
Pardon?
Was it an old Turkish
trench? An old Turkish trench, yeah. You know, previously, previous to all this in March, the Marines had landed in that had landed there, and been around. There had been no preparations made. But apparently, what I thought, I seem to think, was that the Turks thought there was something coming off and had prepared more for the, what was the landing, you see.
When you were in the trenches at the top of the hill, could you see where the Lancashire Fusiliers were? How far in front of you were they? How far in front of you were the Lancashire Fusiliers when you were on top of the cliff in these trenches? Could you see where they were? Or?
We couldn't see anything, no. Whether they dug in or what, I don't know.
Would you describe the situation as controlled or chaotic when you landed? Did everybody know what was happening, or was everybody sort of rushing around knowing quite what's going on?
Our adjutant, Major Barker, and Major Wilson of the headquarters staff had gone to see what the situation was, and they never came back. They were killed either by a sniper or fire from the Turks, I don't know.
Were you the only unit landing on the beach, or were there other units landing on the beach? Were there more units landing behind
There'd
you?
There'd been a unit before us that had done the beach part in the Anson Battalion, I believe.
Were you put on beach duties the next day, or were you
moved
forward?
Yeah. We, in the daylight, the morning after we'd landed, we were under ground sheets because we'd been under observation, you see. We could have been fired upon, even by small arms. And so we just laid down and covered up with the ground sheets. And then as the Fusiliers advanced, so we went on the beach party.
So the Fusiliers went forward, but you stayed back in the trenches at the top and basically worked on the beach.
Yeah.
Could you tell me about the sort of duties you did on the beach as a beach party?
Well, there'd been stages made, and we started to take off mules. And they'd been inboard for a fortnight coming from Alexandria. So you can imagine when those mules' hooves hit the sand, they're on their backs, kicking and farting, and the beach, the officer on the charge of the landing, army officer, in a rather high-pitched voice, and he's shouting, "Get those bloody mules away, this isn't a bloody circus, you know." And these mules are having a good time, scratching their backs in the sand, you know. Anyway, we got the mules away, and then we landed big guns.
You helped. How did you land the big guns? How did you go about it?
Well, quite a party. Had ropes on them, you know, and hauled them up that bit of a slope. Mark you, later on they made a proper runway up from the beach up the bit of a cliff there. So, I think they had done something like that before we got ashore. We got them up eventually, and I think that'd be a few days after they were the guns, if I remember right, because they were put on the left hand of the peninsula, in the commanding position, you know. But primarily the. Two German ships had got through up the Dardanelles, you know, and the Goeben and the Breslau. And when we first got into what we call the camp, it was two shallow trenches where you could stretch right out. We were shelled by the Goeben and Breslau, but being armour-piercing shells, They didn't explode in the soil, you know. And on our left, where we were sleeping, there was what we call the scouts. I forget how many there were attached to the battalion, you know. And it lit right on their dugout, but it never exploded happily.
Besides loading the mules and the 9.2 guns, did you unload anything else?
Stores.
Was it
and ammunition boxes, you know.
Was this fairly continuous work? How long did you work for at a time when you were on a beach party?
Well, until such time that we cleared the barge, whatever it was, you know.
But were you working there all day or just for an hour or
two?
Oh,
only an hour or two. Mm.
So you were called in as a beach party whenever a barge arrived.
That's
for a
right.
specific purpose?
Yeah.
What was the situation for stores for yourselves? Did you get your meals and who prepared them for you?
We had hardtack. What we call hardtack. We were on bully beef and biscuits. Dog biscuits, we call them. They were about six by three, and they were tough.
So that's
you had to,
all...
You had to have good teeth to enjoy your meal.
And that's all you had to eat for the first couple of days while you were on the beach party?
We were longer than the army. You know, the army went long when they got to far enough ahead. They got field kitchens and field ovens going. So they got bread. But not us. They said, you're the Navy. And we were on hardtack much longer than the army.
When did you come off it?
Oh, weeks after.
Really?
Yeah, weeks after them.
So when you got your rations, you just got a new lot of bully beef and hardtack?
Yeah.
How about water? Where did you get your water supply from?
Well, we were lucky in one way. We eventually struck a well on the left-hand side of the peninsula, and we used to take a putty off, lower your canteen down, and fill your water bottles. But we always used to say that there's a queer taste in that water. And we'd been up and down the line two or three times when the engineers finally put hooks down, and up came a body. How it had got there, no one knew. Whether it had been sniped to get in water, whether it had been put down deliberately, we never found out. But dysentery was rife then.
Can we come back to dysentery? Because I want to cover that topic fully. This water supply, that wasn't the first water. Because this well, I presume, was dug specially.
Well,
what did you use for water when you first got on the beach?
Well, you see, three of us were put into a dugout, apparently being dug by the engineers, and then it was been used a condenser for the first water that the fusiliers would have. In case they couldn't strike water, they'd have this condensed water.
How it condensed what sort of water? From
sea
the sea?
Water. But when the stories got around after that, that the sea being red with blood, it didn't make you feel too good drinking that. we made tea, and I remember it was black as that, the tea. Not very appetizing.
So that was all the water you got at first, was this condensed water. What did the rest of the... troops do, the of your unit do? Where did they get their water from? Or were there more than one condenser?
It was this well.
Was the well there right at the beginning then?
Yes, it must have been there for the Turks when they had their herds or whatever they were doing. On the right of the peninsula was settled by a fort and settled by a village. I should think they'd been housing the garrison of the settled by a fort. Well, they'd have to get their water, so the people on the right must have been getting found a well, like we found the well on the left. But I think that that well that we were using it was the cause of a lot of dysentery. How long that body had been in, we didn't know. And we got so low in numbers, in fact, that when we dug trenches, when we were in the trenches, sentries were doing 1 hour on and 1 hour off all night.
Yeah, I will come to that. During this period, you weren't really under shell fire much, except from the Goeben, is that right?
The Goeben and Breslau didn't shell much early on, as I thought they would do. But there was a small gun, I think, had been captured from the Indians. They started a few rounds once, and we thought it was quite a bombardment. It was only a very small thing, and it had been captured from the Indians.
So there wasn't much shell fire.
Eventually,
at all.
Of course, we had guns. The Turks installed guns, or the Germans installed them for them, across the Dardanelles to Cumcale. And they kind of enfiladed us after a time.
Yeah. How long was it that you were on these beach parties and in the trenches just above W Beach? When did the Drake Battalion move off that sort of duties and move forward into the line? Can you remember?
Well, it'd be May. It was May when we did a big advance and established ourselves, the Naval Division. And we advanced in May and dug in.
Can you describe the advance you made? Was this an advance forward to the front line, or from the front line towards the Turkish?
From the front line toward the Turks.
Can you describe what happened to you during that advance?
It's just a matter of doing what we'd been trained to do. And our artillery put a good barrage, you know. So we didn't meet all that much opposition until we'd got dug in a bit. Then the snipers had came up and they caused a bit of trouble. And on our right, we'd exposed our flank. There's nobody on our right. So the Marines put an enfiladen trench across the end of our trench.
Yeah, pick up a couple of points about that. Well, how did you feel before you went over the top for the first time? Were you nervous at all? Or?
I was. I tell you, I was. Yeah.
What sort of thoughts went through your head? Can you remember?